Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Hi, I'm John, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. Now I'm serving God full-time in a growing local church as a music pastor. West Coast prepared me both academically and spiritually for a great future in ministry.
West Coast Baptist College is a growing, dynamic institution committed to training laborers for the Lord's harvest. Thank you for your prayers and support for our students and our vision to train up a new generation of faithful, servant-hearted spiritual leaders. To find out more about West Coast Baptist College or to be a part of our vision, visit wcbc.edu or call toll-free 888-694-9222. West Coast Baptist College, training laborers for His harvest.
Many people in today's society are searching for hope. Maybe you're one of them. Are you facing a hopeless situation? Well, next on Daily in the Word, we're going to share with you that hope is still alive. Stay with us. Is still alive, regardless of the questions, regardless of the uncertainty that we may have in our lives. Hope is alive in Jesus Christ. Welcome to today's edition of Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell. Paul Chappell is the senior pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the founder and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Every Monday through Friday, we open God's Word together, and today we're going to find hope. If you'd like to find out more about Daily in the Word or Pastor Chappell's ministry, or if you'd like to subscribe to our daily podcast or devotional free of charge, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Our current series is entitled Hope is Alive. We're rediscovering that we can always find hope in Jesus Christ. Here's Pastor Chappell to introduce today's message.
Every once in a while in our lives, we come to a place where we're just not sure we can run another lap. We're not sure we can go another day. Maybe it's physical fatigue. Maybe it's discouragement of our heart and soul. Whatever the cause, all of us need to know that God desires to sustain us and encourage us in our race. Psalm 55 is such a blessing to me because it reminds me of the sustenance that I have through my God. I pray today that you'll be sustained by the Word of God as we turn to the Psalms for encouragement.
But did you know, my friend, the proper answer for every born-again person in this room is this: my vocation is the servant of God. Sometimes the Lord sends me to Lockheed to do His work. Sometimes to the Antelope Valley Hospital. Sometimes as a Los Angeles County deputy, and I do all these things, and I work in these different places, but my primary vocation is that I am a servant of God. How many of you believe America might be affected if every Christian recognized the call of God upon their life? But you know, one of the things that I've learned about serving? Serving is a wonderful thing, but sometimes in serving, we can also get caught up in the fog. And I thank God for people who serve the Lord. I thank God for those who serve here at Lancaster Baptist Church and people who have a commute to Los Angeles, people who have a busy, busy life, and yet they find time to sing in the choir, to work with the children, 15 services every weekend in rest homes, and 14 or 15 bus routes that go into underprivileged areas of our community and bring people in to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and folks who serve as ushers. I thank God for folks who serve over in the nursery this morning. It's a blessing to serve the Lord. But I've also learned that sometimes in serving, there are problems that come up too. I sometimes see the problems that we have in serving. I, for example, if you've ever taught a classroom of fifth grade boys, let's say you get 30 fifth grade boys this morning, how many of you know they're not all perfect? A couple of them need one more lesson about the devil. or they could teach it. How many of you know that the nursery workers this morning who are over in the nursery, some of them are going to discover that six-month-old babies dirty their diaper? Now, that's a new revelation for a lot of the men in this room. I understand that. But what I'm saying is that sometimes a care group leader who's trying to care is trying to care for somebody who doesn't care that they're trying to care. That's the nature of the ministry. Sometimes when you've had a long week and it's been hot and you get home from a late day of the commute, the last thing you want to do is try to encourage a widow or try to help someone in need or try to visit someone. And I'm just saying that sometimes, even with the best intentions, we can get in the fog when we're serving. Now, there are many challenges that come. Sometimes we have the challenge for time, sometimes the challenge for money, all different kinds of challenges and problems that we face. I think of the first one this morning, the lack of supply. The Apostle Paul experienced that as he wrote to the Philippians from a Roman prison. He said in verse 12 of Philippians 4, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. He said, I understand the ministry has these extremes. But he said in verse 14, notwithstanding ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. In other words, the church at Philippi, the word communicate means they gave. They saw that he had some needs. They saw that he was in this time of having a lack of supply. In fact, they even sent their pastor, Epaphras, all the way from Philippi to visit him in Rome. And they were sensitive to his need. But Paul was just simply honest about the fact that he had needs in his life. Notice in verse 15, he says, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Sometimes in serving you have a lack of supply. And sometimes in serving you have a lack of strength. You just feel like, I can't go on anymore. I just don't know how to do all this. I'm taking the kids to Little League. I'm trying to be a good dad. I'm trying to be a good mom. I'm trying to get all this done. And if you're not careful, even doing good stuff, you can get in the fog along the way. Paul spoke of that in 2 Corinthians 4:8. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Now, normally when we read those verses, we think about the good side. He says, we're not perplexed. We're not despairing. And by the way, how many of you are glad the Apostle Paul testified that way? I'm not giving up. How many of you are glad for the positive part? But look at the other side for a moment. He says, we are troubled. We are perplexed. We are persecuted. You see, he was honest about the fact that being a Christian servant sometimes is not easy. Sometimes you're in the fog. Now, thank God, he says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. But I'm just saying that sometimes in serving, you run out of resources and you run out of energy. And to be certain, we need to take perhaps some time of rest. Jesus did that, and maybe this summer you'll have some days away and you'll get replenished, and I'm for that. But it is not the will of God that we just quit serving altogether. God says, I want to come and I want to provide for you. When you get in that fog, I want to provide for you. So notice secondly, the provision for the serving. Notice that God knows the problems come. And God knows the fog sets in. And he says, I want to help you. I want to help you spiritually. Now notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you would, in verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now let's just take a look at that and look at that verse right there in your notes. That ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. How many of you get the idea God wants to help you with all your problems? Amen. Say, well, I got this one, this one, this one. He's, all means all, ladies and gentlemen. And God says it doesn't matter what you're experiencing. If you're in the fog of service, God says, I have grace for every situation. That grace comes from within, from his Holy Spirit, who enables and strengthens and comforts the believer. Sometimes it comes from without, as the word of God is spoken to us. Notice in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Notice this, which is able to build you up, you see. Now, how many of you have noticed that in serving, sometimes we can get torn down a little bit and weary? How many of you have noticed the world likes to tear us down? Okay. The boss doesn't always say thank you. Some lady will cook a beautiful dinner for her husband. She labors all afternoon, and his comment is, it's burnt. He says that right before his sudden death. I'm just saying, people try to do their best, but the world doesn't always appreciate your service. And sometimes, perhaps even at church, and you're trying to be an usher, and someone says, I don't want to sit there, you know. And someone's, you're trying to be nice, and someone's not nice back. Even Christians sometimes aren't nice. Isn't that amazing? And so you go through a week, and you feel a little down. But the Bible says, in Acts 20, 32, that the word of God is able to build you up. And isn't it funny when people get in the fog, they want to skip a service or two at church, when the absolute necessity of our life is to get under the word of God so we can be built back up. And God says, I want to build you up spiritually. God says, I want to meet your needs physically. Notice, if you will, in Matthew 6 and verse 8, he says, be not ye therefore like them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. God knows what your need is today. But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so for the serving one that's in the fog and going through the burden perhaps of work and family and ministry and all the things that are on our calendar, God says, I want to give you sustaining hope. I want to lift you up through my spirit, through my word, and sometimes through his church. He'll use a Christian friend, and they'll notice you're down a little bit. And by the way, that's how the local New Testament Baptist church should work. When someone's discouraged or downhearted, we ought to say, hey, you doing all right? Can I take you out for an In-N-Out burger? Some of you just woke up. You heard the first two words of the whole sermon. Take you out for a cup of coffee. God's house ought to be a place when there's sorrow, and God's house ought to be a place for those in the fog of service and just a little weary, where we can encourage one another in the Lord, you see. And God says, I want to give you sustaining hope. My word will lift you up. My grace will lift you up. Well, I see God's sustaining hope not only for the sorrowing and for the serving, but may I say finally, God has sustaining hope for the searching one. You know, there's a lot of people in this world the Bible calls lost. L-O-S-T. And the Bible says in Matthew 18:11, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, in the Bible, we see many sins mentioned. People don't like preaching about specific sins. And we see many of those sins in our society today. And California is filled up with them. But may I say to you that from God's perspective, he sees two categories of people today. He doesn't see necessarily red, yellow, black, white. He doesn't see all of that. You know what God sees? He sees saved and lost. Those that have received his son and those who have not received his son. There's a story about someone who was lost in the Bible. I love this story. I wish I had more time to tell it to you. But if you'll notice in your notes in Luke 15, 20, it says, concerning the prodigal son, a lost man. And he arose and came to his father. This is after he rebelled and went away. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now, when I read that story of the prodigal son, I see a picture of myself. I see a picture of the world in which we live. For the prodigal son is a picture of God's love for this lost and dying world. Would you notice concerning the searching one, our condition? because this son was lost. And the Bible says his condition was a sinful condition. And may I say this morning with all due respect that every man, woman, boy, and girl, according to the Bible, is born with something called a sin problem. And we fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, do you recognize it today? Isaiah says in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we are born into this world as sinners, lost and in need of a Savior. But not only are we born as sinners, the Bible says we are born separated from God. Separated from God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says it this way, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Someone said, contrary to popular belief, it wasn't the apple on the tree that got us banished from paradise. It was the pear on the ground. Adam and Eve made a choice. And the Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 12, therefore as by one man sin entered into the world. Our spiritual DNA in the human race is a sin problem. And oh, may we recognize that today. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, when Adam and Eve took of that fruit, they did not die physically, but they did die spiritually. And they were separated from God because of their sin. And the Bible says in Revelation 20 and verse 14 concerning this eternal death, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, this spiritual death thing, it's a serious problem. It's a problem on the human race. And this son that was lost represents all of us without Jesus Christ. John Newton, who wrote the song Amazing Grace, said of himself, by nature I was too blind to know him, too proud to trust him, too obstinate to serve him, too base-minded to love him. John Newton was simply saying, I was lost until I found amazing grace. And brother, when he found it, he had to write a song about it. Amen. He got so excited that he was saved. Our condition, according to the Bible, is lost and separated from God. Now that's some bad news this morning, but I've got some good news as we close, if I may. And the good news is found in his covering. That is, that even as the Father said, bring my royal gown and put my coat upon my son that was lost. God the Father says, when you come and put your faith in Jesus Christ, the one who shed his blood for your sin, that God will place his robes of righteousness on you. And he will declare you righteous, forgiven, and covered for your sin. And though we were lost, thank God, when you come to Christ, you have been found, and the robes of God's righteousness are placed upon you, and you are covered by his grace. How many of you thank God for that this morning? Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this, that when someone receives Christ as Savior, they are saved according to the Bible. You see, the fact is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 1 John 5 speaks of it in verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. By the way, no church gives eternal life. Only God gives it. And this is the record that God hath given eternal life. Notice, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, folks, that's about as simple as we can possibly get. If we have the Son of God in our heart by faith, we have life. If we have not the Son of God, we have not life. I was in an airport a few weeks ago, and I saw a man, and I knew him. You ever been there? You know somebody, but you can't remember their name. You know that? And that's where I was. And I kept saying, I know that guy. And finally, I figured out who it was. It was Eric Estrada from Chips. How many of you ever saw that show, Chips? That was back around with Starsky and Hutch. How many are with me on this right here? You know what I'm talking about. And I remember as a boy living in Korea, we got some American television, and I think I watched every rerun of Chips, you know, and just watching over there. And I figured out who he was, and I went up and I said, Mr. Estrada, I'm Pastor Chapel from Lancaster Baptist Church. How you doing? He shook my hand. He was friendly. And I gave him a gospel track, and I talked to him a little bit about the Lord. And I said, let me ask you this question. I said, Eric, if you were to die today, Do you know that you'd spend eternity with the Lord in heaven? You have that settled? And he kind of looked shocked at me. Now, folks, I've asked this question thousands of times. I've never had this particular response. He said, "Hey, you know the movie, The Cross of the Switchblade? I was in it." I thought, great. Where are we at here? And I did see that movie one time, but I kind of forgot what it was all about and everything, and I couldn't really remember, and I went on to explain to him some scriptures. He said, "Oh, yeah, I've done that, talking about accepting Christ. I hope the man is saved." But I got to tell you something. You could be in every Christian film that was ever made. You could even play the part of Jesus Christ and still be lost in your sin, not saved. It's not about what we do or who we know in the sense of the human realm. It's about this simple fact. Have you received Christ and the shedding of His blood for the covering of your sin? Because only Jesus saves. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon said it this way: one might better try to sail the Atlantic in a paper boat than to get to heaven with his good works. You see, John chapter 3 and verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him." My friend, Jesus still saves. That's good news today. But not only does he save, he seals. You know, when someone is saved, the Bible says in Ephesians 1 and verse 13, "In whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Hey, I got good news for you this morning. Not only does Jesus save you, but Jesus keeps you saved. He seals us by His Spirit until the day of redemption. But not only does He save us, and not only does His Spirit seal us, but I want you to come back to the thought of this message. He sustains us until He comes to get us. He will sustain us every step of the way. Turn in your Bible as we close, please, to Jude. Little tiny book in the Bible, the last book before the book of the Revelation. Jude. And let's read one of the most beautiful benedictions in all of the Word of God. Jude 24 and 25. Notice what this verse says. "Now unto him that is able..." How many of you like that so far? "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." You say, "Pastor Chapel, I'm having such sorrow. I'm fogged in. I'm having a tremendous difficulty serving my family and doing stuff at church and at work, and I'm fogged in. And Pastor Chapel, I'm searching for the answers. I can't find the answer." Listen, there is one that is able to lift you up. There is one that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Who is He? "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." My friend, He's able to save you. He's able to seal you. He's able to sustain you. And it doesn't matter how foggy it gets, and it doesn't matter how cold you may feel, He is there waiting for you. And you don't have to give up, my friend. He will sustain you with His hope if you'll come to Him and seek His face today. And to the one that is filled with sorrow, He says, "My grace is sufficient." And to the one that's overwhelmed with serving, He says, "I'll provide for your physical needs and your spiritual needs." And to the one that's trying to figure out all this Christian thing and this Christianity and how do you know God, He says, "Listen, for the searching one, I can save you and seal you and keep you if you'll come and put your faith in me as your Savior."
Do you know for sure that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? My friend, you don't need to take a Bible college class to settle that issue. If you believe that you are a sinner separated from God because of sin, and if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood to forgive you of that sin, then even right now you could pray and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, to come into your life and save you from your sin and give you a home in heaven for all of eternity. You could make that call to Jesus Christ right now by prayer and be saved through faith.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, and that's Dr. Paul Chapel that's been teaching today in a series entitled Hope is Alive. If you've made that decision to trust Christ, we sure would love to hear from you. Call us or write to us this month and let us know that decision has been made. We'd love to send you a gift Bible and a follow-up resource that will help you grow in your faith. I'll give you that contact information in just a moment. Daily in the Word is the pulpit ministry of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College here in Lancaster, California. You can find out more about our ministry at dailyintheword.org. When you're on the website, you can subscribe to a complimentary daily devotional. You can also consider listening to past broadcasts or recommend a friend to subscribe to the podcast. Daily in the Word can be downloaded to your computer or your iPod and taken with you to listen to on the go. And of course, all of that is free of charge. There's much more on the website that we'll hope to share with you when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Our gift to you this month when you call or write to us is a little booklet entitled Biblical Guidelines for Using the Internet. We want to say thank you for listening, and this little booklet will encourage you and your family members, maybe your children, with biblical principles of how to use the internet and protect yourself from the dangers. Again, biblical guidelines for using the internet. It's our gift to you when you call or contact us this month. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748, or you can visit dailyintheword.org. Thank you so much for being a part of this edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.